Hey there, this is Wemimo Elizabeth Onikon, host of my Lighthouse podcast. This podcast is for you if you have a heart for God and you seek a balanced life as a Christian. Not just doing great in church and struggling in other areas, or doing great in other areas and struggling in your walk with God. Each week, we'll be sharing insights and personal stories on diverse topics, helping you feel empowered on your own journey and making the right choices, the kind that pleases God. This conversation we're having today, finding emotional healing. And today I have such a beautiful guest with me who has so much to give us, and I'm really excited to be here and just connect with her. Melissa is, first and foremost, she is a parent instructor and a Bible-based mental health life coach. Melissa has a master's degree in clinical psychology, and she's a pastor's wife. Okay, so she's going to be bringing in some, not just psychology, but then also talking about our health, our emotional health in the light of God's word. She posts regularly on her platform, Grace and Logic, on Instagram. And it's such a pleasure to have you, Melissa. Welcome to My Lighthouse.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless you and everyone that's going to tune in later on at some point or is here right now. God bless you. And I pray that this is a blessing for your life and that you take what God wants you to take from this conversation that we're going to have today.
Amen. Okay, so Melissa, let's talk a bit about you just before we get into conversations around our health, mental health, emotional health. So what's it like? You're like your pastor's wife. I'm like, ooh, she's a pastor's wife. So tell us a bit more about you and your background. How did you get here?
Yeah, so my parents are pastors. My husband's a minister. He's a preacher. So he's not a pastor yet, but if that's a calling, that well, maybe.
But that's a journey, like. You're already a preacher, you're like a pastor.
Yes. So he's doing all of that. I've been raised in a Christian home by the grace of God and in a Christian church all my life. I still attend there. So we've been there like 27 years, possibly, I think. And it's just been such a blessing to grow up in the church and to get to know my church family on a different level, right? Like, you know, you go to church and you see the ministers or leaders and you're like, oh, but since I've been there long enough, I know them. Like I know a lot about them. I know more than the average person. And that's one of the reasons why I ended up in this field, you know, seeing my extended family and church family go through some difficult things in life while knowing about God. And, you know, and I guess not knowing so much about the importance of mental health and having a relationship with God and how that impacts your mental health. And so that, I think that was like a key thing that took me into this direction of wanting to know more and being able to help people and work with that.
Interesting. So did you start off first, say, for instance, you're done with high school, you got into university and decided, I think I want to do psychology, or were you doing something totally different and then eventually switched into clinical psychology?
Yeah, great question. So I wanted to be a teacher growing up, obviously. I worked with kids in church. I love kids. I still work with kids on and off. And that was always in the back of my head. But when I started school and I started college, I said, okay, I want to be a social worker. But that transitioned into clinical psychology, both pretty similar hand in hand. But now that I'm married and I'm married to a minister, I'm like, oh, I see how it, you know, kind of like comes hand in hand, because sometimes we'll be invited to go to churches and speak on certain topics where he speaks. Obviously, I read the word and I'm able to speak on that as well. But they'll have him sharing one topic and me on the same topic, but through, you know, maybe a scientific lens, or, you know, what does a therapist think about it? Or what does a psychologist say about this? Or what does, you know, someone else say about this other than a preacher? And the other part too is, like you mentioned, how did I end up here? I realized that there was a big stigma with mental health and getting help or reaching out or even saying that, you know, that I have an issue that you cannot see that's in here and I'm praying about it and it's not going away.
You know that what you just said now about, you know, issues around mental health and things like that. I remember growing up and there used to be a kid just around the house, and she was just, I mean, this is just coming to my mind as we're talking now. At the time, I felt like she would keep my list a lot. Like people would get her upset and She could literally hold that in her heart for like weeks and months. And, you know, she would continue to remember, oh, you did this to me and you did that to me sometime back, you know, and the person's upset. And now even bringing it to our current day scenario, you have cases where, you know, someone got you upset, something happened. And then here you are, somehow you're trying to let it go. You know, you're like, okay, I don't want to think about it anymore. But somehow it's still there, right? It's still in your heart and you seem to be struggling with that bitterness and that malice and anger over an issue. So maybe now asking you, what was that? How do you explain that really? I'm like, okay, I think I've forgiven this person, but I can't seem to get it out of my mind. Like, is there an explanation for that?
Yeah, so I think with that, like, it's a good thing to consider that either I am that person or we know a few people like that, right? And usually mm-hmm. we don't even know when we are that person. Like, it's mm-hmm. easy to see it in someone else, but unless we have friends that are honest and we are, you know, able to listen to people and have people around us that help us grow, then we won't know if that's us. But a lot of ways that you could even identify, is that me? Like, are you constantly, oh, I make friends, but I don't have friends anymore, or I lose those friends constantly, or it's hard for me to keep the same group of people, or I take long periods of not talking to people, you know, or I can't keep a job, or I can't keep this, or I'm always upset. Things just don't go my way. Life is not fair. Like, these same patterns that are created over and over that we think are happening to us, but sometimes we are a part of that and we kind of are in this wheel where we are creating the same pattern. And I guess we could dive further into that, like how do we fix that, or how do we stop it takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of even therapy, I would say, and a lot of prayer and biblical guidance, because this is not a pattern or a way of life that you just decided one day, hey, you know, anytime that anyone hurts me from here on out, I'm gonna hold it. You didn't hold the door for me, I'm gonna hold it against you. You know, you didn't help me with this, you were late to this, I'm going to hold it against you, I can never count on you. But what happened is, prior to that, there's like a mindset that we now have because of things that we've been through that says, you can't trust people, you can't rely on people. People are always going to put you down, or, you know, are not going to do what they say they're going to do, or be who they say they're going to be. And sometimes those core truths come from our parents. Maybe our parents taught us that. Or maybe, you know, something happened in our life where we lost a mother or a father or someone, and it shook our world and said, wait a minute, we cannot trust in this world. We cannot trust because look what happened. You know, they say that like the first 5 years are so important of life, because those are the years that your mind might not be able to say what's going on, like be able to put words to it, but the feelings are all there. All the like themes are getting formed. So mom and dad are not here. Or, you know, I'm getting dropped off, never getting picked up. Mom left permanently. Dad left permanently. I'm crying. Nobody's helping me. Or whatever it might be that's going on during that time is getting now placed in your heart, in your mind. And now you have a new way of looking at the world, that nobody helps me. Nobody cares about me. I'm not safe. I'm just anxious all the time. I don't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And so it's these like themes that are just recreating.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about it. And yeah, absolutely. So there's that. It's one thing for us to think about it like, oh, it's happening to somebody else. But yeah, sometimes it does happen to us. And, you know, we can then decide to pray. I think one thing for me that has worked severally is just talking to God about it. I remember I was hurt once by my father. And it's funny now, I can't even remember what he did anymore, but it really hurt me really badly. And I went in my room, I cried, I was very upset. But I remember talking to God about it. I remember just going to bed. I'm like, God, like, I'm really angry. This is what he did. I don't like it. Like, I remember kneeling by my bed and just literally pouring out my heart in prayer. And, you know, and that was it. After I was done with that prayer, it was like feeling that burden lift, knowing that, you know, you just spoke to someone about it. You just took that burden off your heart and literally dropped it at someone else's feet and walked away, you know, and that's how I felt better. And like I said, now I can't even remember what he did anymore. But what he did at the time was really, really hurtful. Like, I felt really bad, you know. So I think that it's important for, while we're seeking therapy, while we're, you know, finding ways to solve those feelings of hurt or bitterness that we may feel, there's such great power, just to emphasize it again, I know you mentioned, there's just such great power in praying about it. Sometimes we don't really appreciate that, but you know, it's just therapeutic. You're just able to talk. It's like you're having a conversation with a friend, and then you're just able to pour out your heart and talk about what you're dealing with. And then you leave that place feeling a lot better. Okay, sure. You want to say something?
Yeah, you mentioned, I don't remember what it was, but I felt a certain way, right? Yeah. And that's what happens, that sometimes we don't even remember why we're upset, but we feel upset, and that doesn't go away. You know, or we kind of carry, like maybe he did this last week or the week before, and it's kind of piling up, and this was the last straw, and this is how I ended up feeling this way. And I don't even know what it was, but it's just holding on to things over time.
Yeah. And I'm going to bring that question into relationships, like spousal relationships, or even like relationship with siblings. You know, so for instance, for you, I mean, just following you on social media, you're one person who talks a lot about relationships in the context of God's word. So to what extent will you say that our relationships are affected, you know, they are affected by the things that happen to us, or how do they affect our mental health? So relationship with our friends, our parents, our spouses, how do they affect our mental health or relationship with God?
Yeah, we see everything from our own perspective. Right. So when we are now in a relationship, whether it's a friendship, a spouse or a significant other or grandparent, whatever it might be, we're seeing it from our perspective, our lens. And we have no other way to see it because that's, you know, that's our perspective. And, you know, a lot of times we fail to forget that the other person can be in the same situation, seeing it differently, you know, and they're living it differently. And because we are human beings that are human, flawed, we don't understand everything. We don't see the bigger picture all the time. You know, we often will get upset. We personalize things. An example, I ran into somebody at the store and I didn't say hi to them, according to them, right? And they were upset and mad at me. And according to me, I went to the store. I never saw them. I had no idea they were there. But this was enough for them to want to leave church. And they were really upset by the situation that I would have not known of unless somebody came to tell me. And that's just like a bigger one. But at home too, like there's a lot of things that happened that keep us from connecting and instead pull us apart. And the issue is that oftentimes in these friendships, relationships, in marriage, instead of saying, okay, I need to humble myself and figure out how do I get back, you know, closer together, we put up our guard and okay, well then I'm not going to budge either. And then we, you know, move further and further and further apart based on our own understanding and not God's understanding. The word says that our understanding is limited, right? But God has the ultimate understanding, that the heart is deceitful, but God knows all things. And so that's why it's so important to have that relationship with God, because God and the Holy Spirit is going to tell you, hey, you know, that way you treated your spouse or that way you understood that situation, maybe you're right, or maybe you're not. Maybe God won't tell you about that, but he will tell you about the way that you responded to it. And that makes a big difference. So I cannot change my husband's reaction or my friend's reactions, but I can change my response to it. Another thing too, is oftentimes we are raised in a way where we don't know how to reach out, seek help, or express what we need. And then we get mad at our spouse or a friend for not fulfilling that expectation that we have, but we never, you know, shared it because we weren't taught to do that.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, Melissa, I want us to bring it a bit home, like just personally now. So for instance, with your spouse or your sibling, or just you personally, have you had any times when you had your emotions all battered because of something, and how did you personally handle that? Sometimes it's just nice to hear, okay, we know we talk about the word, but I want to hear someone say, this is how I did it, you know, like how did you do that?
Yes.
Tell me what scenario was and how.
Oh, I have so many scenarios. I'm very outspoken, and if I'm upset, frustrated, whatever it might be, right? And I've learned a lot of times those things that frustrate me are selfish things, are things that are not honoring even to God or to myself. And it's just because I want it my way. So God's definitely been doing a lot of work in my marriage and my relationships. The word of God says that we have to be, you know, slow to anger and slow to speak, right? And so if I give you like an applicable tool, a lot of times my husband gets me mad a lot. My husband, my sibling, people make me mad sometimes, right? Over time, it's like, oh, that made me mad, but I can let it go. And that's what's made the difference, or that upset me. I recognize that things make me upset, but I can let them go so quick. Not before. Before, I would hold it a little longer. And, you know, in a minute or a circumstance situation, you get bombarded with all kinds of thoughts. You had mentioned earlier that you had gotten upset with your father, right? You don't even remember why, but what happens is in that minute, your thoughts are, he always, he never, right? So in my head, I'm upset with my spouse about the littlest things. Oh, he always, he never, he did that. I can't believe he didn't think about me, or he, things that are not even possibly true, just like exaggerated in our mind, you know, in that moment. And what happens is that we act by that impulse. Okay, you know what? Just so he understands, I'm going to do this back, right? But if the word says that I have to be slow to anger and slow to speak, I have to do that. I have to not respond right away. And so the tool that I can offer you, and I always offer this, is to say that when you are upset, because you will get upset many times a day, instead of acting on it, bite your tongue and invite the Holy Spirit. God, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. You know, that is that one tool that makes a difference. And the first years of my marriage looked like a whole different marriage to the later years, because I started implementing this. It started implementing the word into my life, that I can ask the Holy Spirit to intervene even in the pettiest moments in my life, where I'm like, oh, I want to do this to my husband. I can't believe he bought me. Like, I always tease him about this before it wasn't a teasing, before it was me. I would get upset about this, and husbands, wives, you know, he would go to Whole Foods or Sprouts or like these organic stores, which are a little more expensive. I don't mind that. But he would buy the food already chopped up in plastic containers. And it was like $12-$15 for a container, where I'm like, you could have bought the whole fruit for $3, you know? And that would trigger me so much, where I'm thinking like, you're so wasteful. You're so right. All these, whatever that means, like in those seconds, it's not just about that, but all these thousands of thoughts. And my response to it was not a nice one. And I wanted to address the situation right now, because I want to address it. Instead of thinking, wait, how's my tone? I'm obviously upset, right? So that first tool of saying, God, help me right now. Holy Spirit, you know, I want to glorify you with whatever happens next. And that always will kind of slow me down. So I'll pause there, but we can come back to that.
That's so, like, while you were speaking, I'm like, yes, yes. Do you know how many times I'm having, like, literally just telling myself, just hold it, don't say anything, you know, the person just goes on, and the person is talking to me, and I'm just like, I want to say something, and you know, you just have that nudge in your heart, like, don't say anything, because you know, like, if you open your mouth and say something, you're just going to explode, and you're going to say things that you shouldn't say. They are trying to clean up the mess, like, oh, I'm sorry for what I said, I didn't really mean that, that wasn't what I was trying to say, blah, blah, blah. But you would have saved yourself a lot if you just held yourself at that moment. And it's not because we can hold ourselves technically. It's not like we have the power, sort of. But God is just able to help us, you know, and just like, Holy Spirit, help me. Like, I need you at this point, Father. I need your help not to respond and not to say anything that I would have to regret eventually. So, yeah, I know that one of the things that you typically say, for instance, is that feelings interpret situations and conversations inaccurately. So when we depend on what we think about other people or what we think they are saying, we tend to respond to them in the wrong way, you know? So they act in a certain way, and then we're like, oh, what I'm hearing you say is blah, blah, blah. And the person is saying, no, that's not what I'm saying, you know? And then you're getting upset and angry. Can we just talk a bit more about that?
Yes. So being spiritually led, being spirit led, Holy Spirit led, being godly led, or being emotionally led, right? Those are two different things, because the flesh is one thing, the spirit is another thing. And I have to die to my flesh, crucify this flesh daily, every 5 minutes, every conversation with my spouse, every conversation at work. And it's a huge practice. Every day I have to practice this every day, and I will fail, but I'm like, God, help me. I need to fix this. Because if I look at things from a spiritual perspective, from a, you know what, God, I'm your servant. How am I going to look at this? Then I'm looking at it from a place of humility, a place of forgiveness, a place of love, of patience, peace, from the fruit of the Spirit. But if I'm looking at it as, no, that to the side, I'm a Christian, but I'm also Melissa. And, you know, Melissa finds this situation or whatever it might be, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not interpreting it, not a way of love, not doing anything that's going to bring me closer to this person. God wants me and my husband to be close, to love each other and forgive each other daily. But if I'm responding as Melissa, I'm going to one up you. Like, we're going to keep score here. I'm going to get one. And no, I won on this one. You know, you better give me my point, because I need to speak until you've understood that I'm right. Right. And when I understand that, you know what, that's not bringing me closer to my husband. That's just boosting my ego, or, you know, I'm feeling attacked because I'm feeling wrong, or that you're saying I'm wrong. That's not cool, you know? So I'm being led out of that place. I'm not being led out of a place. So let's connect. Let's grow closer together. What can we do to fix this? How can I make you believe that I love you right now? How can I make you feel safe? How can I feel safe? I'm being led from a different place. So it's really important to find out where we're being led from, and to recognize, wait a minute, am I interpreting this because I right now I'm carrying the lens of like being upset or a victim, or like you mentioned, we were talking about earlier, or from a place where like people don't love me, nobody cares about me, people always let me down. Am I interpreting it from that lens? Because if I am, then I'm going to see everything differently. And a lot of times these situations are going to be recreating themselves. It's always the same thing, you know, because we're all broken, right? But we're all on that healing journey with Christ. But if we haven't started that journey, we stay broken and we're interpreting everything from a broken place. So your feelings are going to be impacted, because someone that's always sees themselves as broken is always going to feel broken. So I'm going to interpret whatever you do differently, you know? So it all goes down to even the way that you were raised, you know, all of that stuff is going to matter in the way that you interpret things, and you have no idea.
And you have no idea. Interesting how we're, the things that happen in our life, we don't know that it's just the lens that we're using to see the world. Like, it's not necessarily the way we see it, but just, you know, this is me, this is who I am. And then somehow we just relate with people that way and then get upset at different things. How do people get into emotional entanglements? I know that's something that I get to think about. Like, how do people get to that point where they get into those entanglements and hurt? And how can people really find healing in those cases in their lives?
So entanglement, or I call them like triangulant, you know, like a triangle, or just getting stuck in this, it boils down to a few things. One is, if as a Christian, I want to raise connection with each other, I want to create harmony, right? My understanding of the situation has to change. My goal in the situation has to change. My goal is to create harmony. You're my sister in Christ. I want to serve you. How can I serve you? You know, how can I serve whoever it is? Or how can I kind of help the situation? And that sometimes might mean lowering my guard, or being humble about it, or admitting, you know what, I messed up. I shouldn't have said that about so-and-so, or I accidentally did this. I'm so sorry. Like, I created this. But lots of times when we don't go that route, when we don't want to do the Christian approach, what do? You know, we go the other way, and to fix things, we involve other parties sometimes that are not even necessary, you know, or I'm so upset at this person. Can you believe she told me blah, blah, blah? Instead of saying, hey, girl, I'm upset with you. You told me this and you didn't do that. You know, but usually we don't do that. Or we even approach them attacking them instead of, you know, just saying, hey, can you give me clarity or something? Like, I'm kind of confused about what just happened. You know, we kind of go in from our lens, right? Mm-hmm. Even with that entangling thing or triangulating, right? When we bring in people because we're upset about someone else instead of going to them directly, right? And that's also learned behavior. Maybe our parents didn't teach us to go directly to that person. Like, my mom and my dad always taught me, because I was raised in church like my whole life, that if there's an issue, let us know if you would like, so we can help you. And then you can go address the person. So I was like 16, 15, 14, addressing like older adults in my church. Hey, this happened, blah, 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 blah. You know, we need to talk about it. Just because my parents were always like, if it's in your court, let it not be like, you know, let it be clean and clear, not your fault. And the Bible says, like, if we're going to leave our offering, make sure that someone doesn't have something against you, right? So at least that I did my part to clear out whatever.
And I love the way your parents raised you. And that was quite deliberate, you know, just ensuring, very empowering too, I must say, because for a young child growing up, it's very empowering to know that your parents will defend you. And when someone does upset you, you can actually go and talk to the person about how you're feeling, and then you can just resolve it. Maybe just to kind of summarize what we've learned from this session, just listening to you, one of the key things you talked about is the place of praying, you know, so at those moments when you have, you know, and you're just going through a lot in your mind, the place of praying is important. Also, sometimes you may need to seek therapy, you may need to seek, the services of a psychologist or someone who is able to just guide you through, you know, just give you some counsel or whatever it is while you pray. The place of the word is also very valid, you know, just renewing, just also add that place of the word is important, just renewing your mind with the word of God. I like what you said about, you know, like not bottling up in your heart things that you're having to go through. Like if someone gets you upset, talk about it. Yeah, the Bible says be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Sometimes we're just very, you know, you want to speak back, you want to respond, or look at what this person said to me. But it's important that we learn to just be slow to respond and not necessarily interpret people's words or people's actions based on, you know, our own lenses, based on how we're raised or things like that. I want to leave us with a word this evening. The Bible talks about love. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible talks about love. The Bible says that love suffers long. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Love doesn't seek its own. It's not easily provoked. And you can go on and on in that scripture of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 4. Just read from verse 4 downwards. And it's important for us that if we truly love other people the way God expects us to love, we would not necessarily hold things against them. Not because we would not be hurt, not because people would not upset us. I mean, we're giving some examples here of times when we had our spouses upset us, or our parents or friends or whatever. People will upset us at different points, but it's just us then determining that whoever it is, whether that person is a Christian or is not a Christian, like whoever that person is, I would choose to love because that's what God expects of me, to love regardless and not to hold grudges against other people. I want to say thank you so much, Melita. I have been blessed just listening to you, and I do believe that our listeners have been blessed as well. It's such a pleasure just listening and having you share from your expertise, from your knowledge, experiences. Thank you so much for being here. And just to finally say that we have a giveaway going on right now. It's supposed to end today, I believe, but you know, we're extending it or by a week. And basically, if you are in the US or in Canada, this is an opportunity for you to get this giveaway. In partnership with Affirming Truths, we're giving a lovely set of affirmation cards. And these cards are based on God's word, based on scripture. Mm-hmm. So it's so powerful when you're able to confess the word of God, remind yourself of what God's word says concerning you. And then that's the way to victory. That's the way to healing. That's the way to live life the way God wants us to live it. If you're interested in winning this, I think everyone should be interested in winning. It's a freebie. It's a freebie and the steps are pretty simple. All you need to do is follow us. So follow My Lighthouse Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, and follow Affirming Truth as well on Facebook and Instagram. And then subscribe to our YouTube channel, My Lighthouse Podcast still. And join our Facebook group. It's called My Lighthouse, Raising Balanced Christians. So join us on Facebook where we have conversations around the podcast and just breaking down the topic further and deliberating more. And once you've done that, just send us a message, a private message on Instagram saying done with a screenshot. So we'll announce the winner later this month. So Melissa, are you going to do that? I see you've already joined a couple you've liked. I see you're already on the way, so...
Halfway there.
You're halfway there. All right, cool. So just complete it and get in for the giveaway.
If you'd love to connect further, I would absolutely love to connect with you. Head over to the show notes and just book a call with me via the link there, and I'll connect with you personally. You can also share feedback with us via the link to a form in the show notes as well. We'd love to hear from you so that we can continue to do better and meet your needs. Until the next episode, please stay in God. Keep growing and keep pushing yourself to be a better version of you.